The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
C.R. Richards, Cynthia. May I call you Cynthia?
Absolutely.
You are an author. You have an upcoming book out. But before we talk about that, for people who aren't familiar with your work, can you tell us a little bit about your previous series and books?
Sure. I write dark epic fantasy. So book one and two begin with a catastrophic event hits the earth, slaps it on its side, and destroys all life. The only thing left is the residual energies of us and our emotions. So a good entity forms and an evil entity forms, and they divide up the new planet. And my story takes place on a continent it's the last piece of land that hasn't been divvied up yet. So that's the fight. Evil's trying to take it over and good's trying to defend against evil. That in a nutshell is it.
Have you always been a storyteller your whole life? When did you find your love of writing?
You know, I have. I grew up in a family of storytellers. So like I won my third grade story writing contest. But yeah, it started with my grandma. She, when we go to her house, she was big on telling us stories of fairies and gnomes, and she'd put candy in our slippers when we'd stay over at her house and tell us the fairies did it. So yeah, I just grew up with that, and it's just always been a part of my life.
That's awesome. Fantasy has like become even bigger lately, I think, with all the cool things that are coming out. What's one of the things you try to do to set yourself apart or maybe make yours a little bit more unique than others?
Sure. I really try to put elements of reality into it. I like to explore the characters as people as if they were living with us today and we knew these guys. And I like to explore some of their emotional challenges they have. And then put the magic in. It shouldn't be all about the magic. It should be about the character.
Do you get an idea for a book or series of books all at once and then like you have to get it down on paper? Or is it more of like a process where you have ideas and you put them together and see how it goes?
Well, 99% of my story ideas come from dreams. Ooh. I mean, I'll dream a scene and wake up in the middle of the night and hurry and type it in my iPad. And then kind of, if it's a worthwhile, something worthwhile, I'll go from there. But Heart of the Warrior started off as one scene with a boy kneeling by his mother's grave. And it looks like it took place on the Irish coast in the 1700s. And a Spaniard was standing over the boy, and I just wondered who these people were and what their story was. And I just decided to explore that. I thought it was really interesting.
Do you get like ideas that you want to use someday, but you haven't figured out how yet? Like, do you have like a folder put away of like, that would be great if only I can figure out how to
Get
into a story?
Oh, totally. I have my story idea folder tucked away. I have an idea about people who turn into these high-end supercars. And it's fascinating story, but it's like, oh, you got the Transformers and other things kind of been done. But I like the character, so maybe one day I'll tuck it away and tweak it a little bit and use it for something else.
What's the physical process for you? Like, do you use a laptop? Do you use a legal pad?
Well, I'm a hardcore techie. So I use, if I get ideas, I have an iPad with me almost all the time. But yeah, I'm a Mac girl. I type on my Mac, exclusively. I used to do longhand, but that gets a little, cumbersome, and then you have to retype it anyway. So, blah, blah. So I just mostly do everything on a laptop now.
for your fans, people that follow you, and they feel like they want to tell those types of stories also, do you have any like advice if they're trying to tell their stories of like how to, like what was your, what made you know you could do it and be successful like you are at it, and the other people might want to do that as well?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the thing that turned around for me and helped me get published was joining Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers. It's a big fiction group here. Well, the Rocky Mountain West, we have people as far away as New Mexico, but they have classes and workshops and conferences. And you have the opportunity to be mentored by people, writers who are way far advanced on their path in their journey than you are. That really helped me learn how to write the correct way, how to network, what am I walking into? They introduce you to editors from the big publishing houses, literary agents. So they were a big part of how I was finally able to get published.
To get published, you pretty much do need a literary agent, right?
Well, you do, or like my path was being a co-author with another somebody who was already published, and then I was able to piggyback on that and have my book accepted by a publisher I already had a relationship with. But a lot of folks do have to start with literary agents. I do both traditional and indie pub. So, but my advice to everybody, if you aren't already published or you're not familiar with the field, go try the traditional route first, because there's a lot that you need to know about this business to be successful as an indie author. Start there first, learn the business, and then if it's for you, then switch to independent publishing.
Independent publishing, what is that? Is that like putting your book on Amazon yourself or something?
Yeah, I will. Right now, this whole series, Heart of the Warrior series, I'm doing because it's such a near and dear to my heart, probably more than it should be for a traditional publishing. But I do all the writing. I pay an editor. I contract out with an editor. I contract out with book cover designers and book formatters. And finally, when it's ready to go, then I publish it myself on Amazon or wherever. But then I also pay a publicist to help me market it. So all the risk and all the funding for the books come out of my pocket. You don't have that as much in traditional publishing.
It's good that that exists, so people that have an idea and maybe other people don't believe in them, but they believe in themselves, can actually get their work out there for people to read.
You're absolutely right. And there's been several success stories on independent authors becoming really popular or eventually getting picked up by a major publisher. So,
like The Martian was done that way.
Exactly.
That's a big success story.
Exactly. So you just never know. And if you have to believe in yourself enough to do whatever it takes to make it happen.
What's it like working with an editor? Does your story change working with an editor, or is it more just the fine details and continuity and stuff?
I'm funny this way. I do a two editing process. I'll start the book, then I'll send it to what they call a developmental editor. I'll send the first 60 pages, and most of the time they'll tell me, this isn't a good market idea, or what you're doing with your villain doesn't work, or just the basics of, is this a reality? Is this even plausible and a good thing to do? The second round and the final round of editing, I go through a line editor. I just got my book 3 back from the line editor, and I call her the grammar ninja. I'm good at grammar, but she's like a black belt. I mean, she is a master. So she found things that I missed. And so right now I'm making those changes before I even send it off to my book formatter. I want it right and good the first time.
Grammatically, you want it perfect, so you listen to the second editor. The first editor, when you create the universe and you know these characters, do you like take it as an opinion and maybe go with it or not, or do you just go by what they say?
Well, that's the tough part. That's why I say sometimes this series is too close to my heart, because when you do that and you have to think of that person as a member of a product team, and you park your ego at the door and be open and say, okay, I'm going to listen. If I vehemently disagree, well, ultimately I'm the publisher and I'll do what I want, but I do listen to them. I do. One book, it's not part of the series, but it's Pariah. It's an urban fantasy. They told me, you know, your female character, your villain is really weak, and it's just not going to be marketable. I listened to them and I changed it, and it turned still is one of my top sellers. So if these people know what they're doing, they understand the market too, and it just, you pay them for a reason. So it's good to listen to them no matter how painful it could be sometimes, you just have to put your ego aside and listen.
You create these characters in this world, or the worlds. Does part of your brain have to think of them as real people and real worlds in order for you to find their stories and their voice?
I absolutely agree with that, yes. I spent a good, I would say, 5 to 6 months just world building. I'm one of those people where each country that I have my characters pass through, I take the time to do a travel guide. Here's what their main economics are, or here's their exports and imports. Here's how they dress. Here's their culture. Here are some slang words they use. Here's what they may or may not look like, and here's how they fit in politically with the whole world. I've been complimented on my world being very realistic and my characters. I think it's because I've taken the time to world build and also taken the time to sit with the characters and figure out how they fit in that world and how they feel about that world. And I think it comes through.
You have a new book coming out in October, is that right?
Yes.
Could you tell me about that? Tell everybody listening and watching.
Sure. It's called Creed of the Guardian. It's a book 3 of the Heart of the Warrior series. And it's it takes my main character, Seth, from just running away from evil and trying to figure out what his destiny is, to having found his destiny and being shanghaied into their version of the military. So he's taken really against his will to an outpost in a dead swampy land. And he's expected to serve in the military there, but also he's been given the task of finding a relic that will help him win the war against evil. And I've planned the release around Halloween. It's my favorite holiday, so we're going to make a big to-do and have Halloween-themed contests, so it'll be a lot of fun.
If somebody is just now discovering you and they want to check out your work, what would you recommend them starting with?
Well, that's a great question. I would say it depends. It depends on what you like. I'm also a horror writer. I'm with the Horror Writers Association. So Heart of the Warrior series has some horror elements. And so does my other book, Phantom Harvest. It's about mutants and zombies and killers. But if you don't like really icky horror, I would say, and you just want a good urban fantasy, I would start with Pariah. It's about elves and elementals on the Vegas Strip.
Ooh, so, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I like that. What time is that set in?
That's today.
Current day?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Current day.
Wow, that
yeah.
sounds good. That sounds really good. Most importantly, where can people find your work?
Oh, all my social media and buy links are on crrichards.com.
Very good. C.R. Richards, thank you so much for being on Thinking Outside the Long Box. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.